Everybody is home. I can see Paul's home. I'm home. We're in direct compliance with the governor's order that we should stay home. I hope you're home. And if you have some kind of essential job where you have to go to work, we're praying for you and your family, especially those who are on the front lines, our healthcare workers. Who else, Paul?
I said, wash your hands and wear your mask.
Yes, wash your hands.
You know, it's funny, but people don't realize till now that when you have to have water coming into your bathroom,
yes,
you have to have somebody is in a plant in Baltimore City making sure that that's happening correctly for you. You know, so
wow.
There are a lot of people who are working every day that are doing still bringing us city services. And those people are our heroes right now.
They are our heroes. They are our heroes. I think we don't understand all of the infrastructure that and all of the systems that take place to make things happen that we take for granted. Like we turn the faucet on and water pours out. But I, for one, never thought about that happen.
That's right. That's right. And all the pipes that it took to the trash and your folk that are in the hospitals who are, you know, the orderlies who are walking around cleaning the place, you know, making sure the doorknobs are clean, that right, clean. All of those things are critically important right now because just, you know, this virus is so prolific. This virus is so prolific that just in contact with it and it getting into your lungs is enough to really put you in a bad state. So yeah, it's critical, critical.
Right. And my husband and I are CNN junkies, unfortunately, and we keep watching the numbers go up and up and up. And even my son, who we had to go to North Carolina to get from college, he just came up out of the basement because he still has class. As a matter of fact, he told me they're giving me more work. He said, why? He gave me some percentage, like, why do we have 20% of the deaths in the whole world? And, you know, until we just basically stay at home and,
right,
you know, allow the curve to flatten, you know, it's just going to continue to be that way. And
that's right.
I think that many of us could probably wave, hi, Ashley, wave our hands or wave the Instagram wave if you know somebody personally who's been tested positive. I had someone very dear to me test positive. And it's scary when they say, I mean, she's young and, you know, healthy and all of that. But when she called me up and said, you know, my test was positive, it was scary to me.
Yeah, yeah. And especially in light of the fact that there's no actual active cure for this. There's a bunch of speculation, but there's no cure. And so, you know, even the youth that get infected by this can be compromised. And I mean, all you have to do is get in your lungs and you gotta fight. You know, you're gonna have pneumonia and you're gonna have a lot of problems. So, you know, the best thing for all of us to do right now, I realize it's an economic hardship and that's what we're gonna talk about today, especially for businesses, but it's an economic hardship, but it's something we have to do if we want to flatten this curve.
We have to do it. Yes, it's super scary, Ash, it's super scary.
Yeah, I drove through Pruitt Hill Park the other day, and people were in there playing basketball like it was just okay. And we had to go in there and take the rims down, you know, because just telling people don't go and play basketball, don't play in the parks, because you're carrying it. Keep to your families, keep close. And unfortunately for people, they don't realize that if they contract it, when they take it back home,
yes,
it affects everybody. You know, everybody
in the house,
even if you quarantine, you know, so you really affect your entire family by not heeding to this warning. It's not a joke. This is serious stuff, and nobody's trying to. You know, I've heard some conspiracy theories that think that something, you know, but nobody's trying to do anything to anybody except the fact that we're trying to flatten this curve. Because
exactly
all the numbers in that how viruses move through communities is that they move by contact, and that contact gets exponential, because when you talk to one person and that, and when you touch somebody and they're affected, and then somebody, they go and touch two other people, you can see the exponential growth of this, you know, because every person is going to talk to another person, and that's going to connect to other, to create a virus throughout our community. So yeah, we've got to flatten this curve. We've got to stay at home. We've got to protect our families.
We have to. And then the young people who live with older people, the young people who feel they're invincible coming back into a household where they have older people and then infecting them. Yeah, it really is very, very serious. I'm praying that everybody will take it seriously. And I'm also hoping that the information that we share today is going to be most helpful. I just want to say that I've known Paul for a long time. As a matter of fact, he and I had a conversation before this where we were both trying to figure out how to make sure that the live went well. And I said something, and he was like, yeah, you old school like me. And I said, yes, I'm old school. So Paul and I have known each other for a long time. And Paul has been in city government for a very long time. As a matter of fact, I think when I first met Paul, he had a job, and I'm not going to read his entire resume, but he had a job where he was responsible for bringing businesses like Under Armour into Baltimore. That's how I first met Paul. And then he ran, and I don't know if it was SCORE or PTAP, one of those kinds of programs for small businesses over at the old Eastern High School. And then I ran into you again. It seems like every kind of transition in my life, Paul, it kind of pops up. And so he's been a good friend for a long time. And that's the wonderful thing about having this platform, is that I get to tap my good friends who are very knowledgeable about a whole bunch of different subjects to sit with me for a while and share that knowledge with you, with all of you. And so I'm happy to do that. And so currently, though, Paul is the mayor's director in Baltimore City of minority and women-owned businesses. And if anybody knows about small business, it's Paul Taylor. And so I wanted to have him kind of share with us, because I understand, as an entrepreneur as well as, let me just start out by saying, my name is Jan Desper Peters, and I am the host of BTST Services podcast, Meeting You Where You Are. I got so caught up, I forgot to say that part. And I'm also the director of strategic partnerships for BTST Services and their nonprofit, BTST Cares. And so in this space where we would normally tape our podcast, we can't do that, of course, then I had to ramp up with our wonderful marketing team and our wonderful CEO, Chris Simon, and Jada McCray. Hey, Jada. Hey, Chris. To do this podcast live. And so that's why we're here today, to do the podcast, but more importantly, to give some hope and encouragement to small businesses, because we know that we are all experiencing some kind of trauma. And I'm going to use the word trauma. We're all experiencing some kind of trauma as it relates to this pandemic. We have, for the most part, have not seen anything like this in our lifetime. And I hope that we won't see anything like this again. But while we're experiencing it, we need to also prepare ourselves for coming out of it. Because as my mother would say, nothing lasts forever. So we are going to come out of this. We need to use this time to prepare ourselves to come out of this and be bigger, badder, and stronger. And I'm hoping and praying that the information that we have for small businesses is going to help you do just that. And so, Paul, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your experience with working with small businesses, and then we'll jump right into the efforts that the state and the federal agencies have to give some relief to small business.
Absolutely. So Jan referred to our past as we've been connecting back and forth. So one of the first places that we connect, I did work for Baltimore Development Corporation, and in doing that, I was responsible for business development. That is, making sure that businesses who are here can stay here and survive here, but businesses who are looking to come to Baltimore have an opportunity to do that. And then I left there and ran what's called the Small Business Resource Center, which is was located at one time, for you who want to go back in history, was located at the corner of Baltimore and Charles Street. And then we moved to the old Eastern High School, where I oversaw a partnership between the city and SBA, who provided us with some help. So the PTAP was in that office, SCORE is in that office, and a number of other resources. We provide counseling services, and we still are providing counseling services to businesses who are interested in growing that. So I'm still involved with the Small Business Resource, and I am now on the board of the Baltimore Development Corporation. Today, what I'm doing now is I'm actually in the mayor's office as the director, and I'm on the mayor's cabinet, so I get to see firsthand how we're managing the resources and managing the city in this austere time. I mean, this is a time when we've never seen anything like this. And right now, even though we are all working remotely, we're still working. Everybody in city government is still doing their job. My staff is still available if people need to have questions answered. Jan, you mentioned that there are resources that are coming from the federal, the state, and the local government. And so there are a couple of things that we want to say. One is to make sure that you go to cdc.gov, and that way you'll hear the most updated information about the coronavirus. You'll hear some of the things that are going on and the directives that the federal government has had for you. But more importantly, for small businesses, the thing that I think most of you are interested in hearing about today, for small businesses, the SBA is going to be that first place that a lot of us can find information about a couple of different programs. One is the Payroll Protection Program, which is designed to help people that you can go right now and find out how to get monies. Some of these are forgivable or grants to be able to assist you with your, currently you're not working, you don't have access to resources, and so these are places that you can go. So if you went to sba.gov, you can find out information about some of these things. And these are the CARES Act that was just signed into law on the 27th, and they're still working out some minute details, but that information is also available there in detail. And I'm going to get into a little bit more detail about that. So the other website that I'd like to, and I'm going to mention these throughout this conversation.
And Paul, we can also post them as well.
Oh, good, good. So yeah. The other one, State of Maryland, which is a program that is designed to help you. They've collected all of the information that's been coming out, including the directives from the health department, the executive orders that the governor has given out about who should be home, who should stay home, what are the essential businesses that can remain open, like your grocery stores, your pharmacies, and gas stations, and so forth. And believe they're not liquor stores. I'm not sure how that fit into the picture, but liquor stores also, maybe I do know why. But also they have a site called businessexpress.maryland.gov/coronavirus. And that's gonna take you to govstatus.egov.com. What that will give you is all of the updated information about the state of Maryland's COVID-19 business response. So what you'll hear about is the programs that the governor mentioned last week, where they have set aside $175 million to assist with business recovery. Some of that is in the form of loans that are going to be available in cooperation with the federal government. It's going to also be a number of other resources that will be able to provide assistance to small businesses. There's one other site that I want to bring.
Paul, I just want to interject for a minute with regard to the state relief fund, the loan and the grant fund, is that I'm hoping that people will immediately apply, because even though $175 million sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, we also have a lot of businesses that are going to be in applying for that money. And so the longer we wait, the lower we get down on the queue.
Yes. And you're absolutely right, because you know, this is first come, first serve. Okay.
Right.
So we have to make applications now. So the Maryland Small Business COVID Emergency Relief Loan Fund is a $75 million fund, which offers no interest or principal payments due for the first 12 months. So that's a program where you could apply right now, go on that Business Express website that I mentioned before, and there you will get access to a 36-month loan with 12 months that you don't have to apply initially, and no interest. So that means that you get a chance to get loan that can help you with your businesses right away. There's also there's the Maryland COVID Emergency Relief Grant Fund, and this is really to help employers who have employees and they can't pay them right now because those employees, or they want to keep them, but they can't pay them because those employees are, you know, they can't come in to work. And so you've got to have a resource for that. So there's the Maryland Business Emergency Grant Fund for that's really up to, for employees, and that's about $10,000 to each business, for each applicant, and it's not to exceed 3 months, and they have to demonstrate the cash that they need. So it's not, they're not putting this out there for new businesses or for you to expand your business. This is really to help you pay your employees while they're sitting at home, and you can't pay them, but you need to keep them, because otherwise you're going to have to rehire and have a mess of a time restarting your business. There's also the Emergency Relief Manufacturing Fund. This is, again, a $5 million incentive program that helps Maryland manufacturers to produce personal protective equipment. So if any of you are in the business of making soaps or hand creams, or you can convert some of your activity to some of the needed products, there's a grant fund available. There's a incentive program available for that kind of activity also. So those are sort of the big critical things that the state is doing. So the three things are the Maryland Emergency Relief Loan Fund, which has about $75 million in it, which is a 12-month loan program, 12 months free, 36-month loan term. That's at, and after the first year, it will be a 2% per annum. And that is really to help you really keep your business going, pay your bills that you need to pay. There's also the Emergency Relief Grant Fund, which has $60 million in it that offers grants.
Paul is circling. I hope you can still hear me. He's buffering. And I hope that he comes back in. But while he's saying that, I just wanted to circle back to some of the things that he was saying. Paul, you were buffering for a moment. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My back is going low.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that, yeah, I can hear you now. And with the Maryland Small Business Emergency Relief Loan Fund, I just wanted to make sure you heard, Paul, that you can get loans up to $50,000. It's 0% interest for the first 12 months, and there's no payment until the 13th month, right? And your business has to, I mean, of course, the stipulate, you, most people have been to a bank to get a loan, whether it's for your business or a car or whatever. So, and you know how much paperwork it is, how you have to have, you know, what people would think like a perfect score. These requirements have become somewhat lax. Now, of course, they can't be irresponsible, but the requirements are not what they would normally be. And so I just want to make sure that people don't feel like, well, I would never be able to get that money. If you have a business, apply for the money. That's what I'm telling everybody who talks to me. If you have a business, apply for the money, because they really want us to, and I'm saying us because I work for a minority-owned business. I have a minority-owned business, and they want us to stay in business. They want us to stay in business. They want us to keep people employed, you know. And so you really need to go ahead and apply for these loans and grants.
That's right. That's right. It's critical. I think that people need to not be afraid, but try. You and what they'll have on these websites, and when you go there, it'll tell you what documentation you're going to require in order to pursue these loans. So you'll be prepared, have your documents together, and go ahead and apply. Please apply now, because it's critical for us to really stay in business. These are monies that you've paid your taxes for all these years. This is what these monies are available to help you to stay in business.
That's a good point with regard to them being. I was just saying that was a good point. It's taxpayer money. It's not like it's Governor Hogan's money. It's our money. And our money is available for us in our time of need.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. The on the federal side, there are a couple of programs. One is the CARES Act, which was passed by Congress into law on 2 days ago, March 27th, 3 days ago. And there's some good information on the website, so you can find it. A lot of this there that you can find it, and it's designed for small businesses. The CARES Act is $250 billion will be used to establish the Paycheck Protection Program. You'll hear a lot of people use the acronym PPP. Which provides loan guarantees to small businesses to assist with payroll costs for workers who are forced to stay home. Again, this is the state and the federal government also doing the same thing. The loans will be available for firms that meet the SBA small business size standards, right? That's businesses under 500 employees. Self-employed sole entrepreneurs, independent contractors, and workers in the gig economy, that are the people like who drive Uber, and you can demonstrate that you have receipts that show how much you used to make and now you're not making anything. So you can be able to demonstrate that. Again, a lot of this is gonna require you to demonstrate the money that you were making. That means tax returns, that means any receipts that you've been receiving or checks that you've been receiving on a regular basis. You have to come up with all of that information ready to do these applications. This is also money for nonprofit organizations, including 501c3s and C19s, and tribal business concerns also. Fewer than 500.
Well, I want to interject here that this is huge because for one of the first times, as it relates to assisting small businesses they've always been SBA programs for small businesses and businesses that experience disaster. For states that have hurricanes and floods, there's always been these kinds of programs. But this program is unique in that it also is expanded to independent contractors. Like Paul said, people who drive Uber, people who in the gig economy, who don't necessarily work for a firm. And so these monies have not been normally available to those people. And so now they are. The other point I want to make is people are sitting around lamenting about being at home. Get your house in order. I've been in several incubator programs as a small business person. And one of the things that kind of sticks out to me is that if you don't know what your financial situation is in your business, then how are you running your business? So when these programs ask you for your tax return and your profit and loss statement and a balance sheet and receipts, start getting those things in order now, because you are going to have to submit some documentation in order to apply for these loans.
That's right. And you know, it's critically important that people recognize that those are the things that you should have as a business anyway, but it's going to be critically important for you to have them. The CARES Act also created $150 billion coronavirus relief fund for states and territories. By the way, whenever you hear the word that the federal government declares an area a disaster area, the technical reason for that is because there are funds from the federal government that are going to be allocated to that area. Disaster area is not just somebody calling it a disaster area. They're actually saying that because once that declaration is made, the funds can come to that area for relief. In this case, which is unprecedented, it's the whole country and territories that are devastated by this virus. So make sure that you understand that the critical importance of that. So there, as I was saying, there this other program is designed to cover payroll for employees and a number of other programs. The state of Maryland
rent,
has
utilities,
put some money.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And the act is established as a refundable 50% payroll tax credit is also available for recovery. Covering up to $10,000 per employee. So this is a tax credit that you're going to be able to do. So make sure when your accountant starts doing your taxes this year, you know exactly what that is. And just speaking of taxes, the IRS is even also providing some directives. So if you go to irs.gov, you can actually see some information. I get daily updates from Ms. Veronica Tubman, who really tries to keep small businesses up to date on what the IRS is also doing as in regards to this. So you should really look into these things.
Paul, I have a question. There was a question on the board as it related to contractors and 1099s. And so it is my understanding that the Economic Injury Disaster Loan and Grants Funds is available, as Paul said, to independent contractors and 1099 contractors and nonprofit organizations. Yeah. And so that is the one that I would direct you to as it relates from the at the SBA sites. Senator Ben Cardin has been on many webinars because he is on the Senate Small Business and Entrepreneur Committee. Yes. And so he has a great summary of all of these different grants and loans on that site. And it's very clean, it's very well done, and it's easy to comprehend. But there is a priority as it relates to giving out these $10,000 grants through this emergency injury disaster program.
That's right.
And so that's one that I would definitely suggest that the 1099 contractors, like nail technicians, hair salon owners, barber shop owners, to go to that site and identify the application, right, and start filling out the application for yourself.
And a lot of small businessmen ask me, well, you know, how am I going to be able to show that? But if you have been keeping any tax records, if you submitted what's called a Schedule C, that's how you've taken all of your income and expenses from your business, even if you're a sole entrepreneur, a sole proprietor. You have taken that information on your Schedule C, and that information is what you're going to have to demonstrate that you're now being injured economically because no money's coming in. We've closed your barbershop, we've closed your beauty salon, and now we want to make sure that you can survive. So that's where you can find that. And again, your employees and you, if you have employees, some of the 1099 folk don't have employees, right? Exactly right. So they'll be able to go in and look at this as a way of doing that.
Paul, someone is asking a question about daycare providers. Now, probably most daycare providers are 1099 contractors.
I would hope that they are not.
They're not. Okay.
That they're an LLC, and in my business plan class, which I do every month, which I may have to be doing a podcast, but in my business plan class, I talk about why the risk of having a sole proprietorship as a daycare provider because you're liable and all your assets are liable and there's no
excellent point
in the business. So hopefully if you're a daycare provider, you are a LLC at the very least so that you can demonstrate that. But again, if you have if you're a daycare provider and you have employees, you may have one or two helpers in there. They should be people that you're paying taxes and insurance for. So you should be able to demonstrate that information. But again, the payroll paycheck protection program has that information as resources available for those type of employers also.
Okay.
And the 1099 is contractors.
Okay. All right. So I have another question as it relates to a new contractor, new in business, and hasn't filed taxes previously. Now, in my research, it's showing that in some of the instances for these loans and grants, you have to have been in business for a certain length of time. But I believe it's on the federal side. As long as you were in business by, I believe it's January 2020, which is when the first announcements came out about COVID, then you can apply.
Right, and what you'd have to demonstrate there, but you haven't paid your taxes yet, or you should be about to do your tax returns between April 15th and July 15th. So you should be able to assemble some information about what it is that
he's buffering again. Go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like I'm losing battery power. I thought I charged this thing. I didn't realize this took so much power. But yeah, so you may want to make sure that's available. I want to make sure I do one thing just before, just in case.
Please do, because I don't want to lose you until you give us the good juice.
People have the websites that have a lot of this information. There's one other website where we've assembled all of the information and put it all in one place. That website is BaltimoreTogether.com. BaltimoreTogether.com. Baltimore Development Corporation has put together a one place where we assemble and update all of the information for all of the programs that I've talked about, federal, state, and local programs that we've talked about. All of that information is in this one site where you can actually find it and look at all of this information. So go to BaltimoreTogether.com. Yesterday, Baltimore Development Corporation had a podcast, or I guess not a podcast,
a webinar. Yeah, I was on it.
Yeah, that's good. And what the SBA was there, Senator Cardin was there. Kelly Schultz from the state of Maryland was there. And what
someone from M&T Bank there as well.
Somebody from M&T Bank, and what we were doing there was trying to make sure that we assembled all of the information and the critical people who could direct you to the programs. They talked about these very same websites that I've talked about where all of the information is being stored. You can also still get to my office and get answers there. And let me give you that phone number. My telephone number at the office is 410-396-3818, where we still are here and available to answer questions. The Resource Center is still available to answer questions, and we try to answer those questions within 24 hours. So,
Paul, say it again, your telephone number.
The telephone number for my office is 410-396-3818. And that's where you can get information, and we can direct you to any other resources that are available to help you with your business recovery. Let me just say that the world's not over. Things are going to go on, and you should trust that fact. So let's make sure that we remain resilient, remain optimistic, and if you're at home twiddling your thumbs, I'm sure that one or two of you have hobbies that you probably haven't engaged in a long time, sewing and stuff. You could even make new pillow covers for your sofa or your chairs or something. But there are things that we can do to occupy our minds so that we don't sit and just listen to the news all day and become more and more depressed. Because one of the critical things that must happen is that we have to think about the future. What is available to us in the future for our growth and development? And businesses will go on. Businesses will be resilient. Some businesses will be way stronger and more powerful. By the way, you got to believe, you better believe that Amazon is going to be way stronger than they ever were, because more people are now going to realize, you know what? I can actually survive online. I can actually survive by working from home. And so people are going to become cognizant of that and really engage in that. So hopefully that people are looking at opportunities to become more resilient. And these programs that I mentioned today are those kinds of things that are going to help you to really sort of weather this storm. It's not going to last forever, but you need to make sure that you apply now, because as I said earlier, these funds, a lot of these things are first come, first serve. Some of these that are being put in, people say, well, I don't need another loan, so they don't even apply. And guess what? The loans, and some of them may be even forgivable. If you meet certain criteria, the loans are forgivable. In education, you're going to find that all of the rules and regs, all of the qualification and eligibility requirements are in those documents. Again, please go there, look at them. If you get stuck and can't figure out which one to go to BaltimoreTogether.com, where you will find a lot of information, all of the stuff that I've talked about today.
Paul, I just want to thank you for your time. You have, of course, been wonderful. That's why when you called me and we had to switch the time today, I was not going to let you go. If it had to be 8 o'clock, it was going to be 8 o'clock. And I just want to encourage people as well with regard to, and I said it before, get your house in order. And because there are going to be some documents that you need that you may not have, that you may not have or had the opportunity to, you know, have prepared for yourself. How can we show, as a business that has a large cash income, that we are losing $100,000 in income if when we file our taxes, we only filed that we made $25,000? So how can we get money for small businesses and we're not an LLC, which is a simple process to be an LLC, to get a tax ID number, you know, to make sure that we do things legitimately. And, you know, I'm just going to use a scripture, in decency and in order.
That's right.
And so if we would just take the time to do that, that would be great. Thank you, Paul. I just want to also just make people aware of the fact that, you know, there are going to be people who try to take advantage of a situation. So there are going to be people who try to scam you. Fraudsters selling COVID health and business insurance, telling you that the banks are shutting down, telling you that you have to pay, that, you know, that you should pay somebody to fill out these applications.
Do not.
Some of them do take time, but you do not need to pay people to fill out these applications. Don't fall for the okey-doke.
That's right.
Right, Paul?
Absolutely. Do not pay anyone to help you with these documents. They're designed, some of them are two-page application. These are designed with simple questions that you as a business should have the records or information to be able to present. You do not have to pay anybody any fees to be able to fill out this application. Now, every once in a while, I meet people who come to me who really can't read very well and they need help to do that. And we're going to try to help some of them, but we're not, you know, these are the things that you, it's a very simple questions that are asked on some of these applications that I think people should be able to complete and be able to help themselves. So please don't pay anybody for this kind of work. Make sure that you pull your documentation together, take this time, put it together, and please apply now. Don't wait. Apply now, because again, a lot of these resources are first come, first serve. They may sound like a lot of money to you, but when you multiply that time, all the businesses in the state, all the businesses in the city, and all the businesses in the country, believe me, some businesses are going to eat this stuff up. They're ready to go and nimble and ready to go. They're going to eat it up. So make sure that you apply now for your share of what is your money in the federal government, in the state government, and the city government.
I'm going to leave you with the final word, but I also wanted to just circle back to the PPP, the Payroll Protection Program that Paul talked about. It's actually one. It's a component, or it's an offshoot of one of the traditional SBA loan programs. And so that particular program, you do have to apply through an SBA lender, your bank.
That's right.
And that's why M&T was on the webinar yesterday, because they're one of the largest in the region that lends SBA and processes SBA loans. So I just wanted to put that information out to you too. It's a lot of information. Paul, we want to go to Baltimore Together to synthesize the information, right?
Yeah, BaltimoreTogether.com. If I had said payroll, it's actually Paychecks Protection Program, right?
So Paychecks Protection Program.
And unfortunately, there are going to be a lot of acronyms that people are going to hear. Please just read. A lot of this information is readily available in the sites that I gave you. And if you get stuck and can't figure out where to find some of the stuff that I mentioned today, go to BaltimoreTogether.com where you'll find this information.
This is Jan Desper Peters, and we've been talking to Paul Taylor, who's the director of Minority and Women-Owned Businesses in the city of Baltimore. He is on the mayor's cabinet. He's very knowledgeable, and I thank him for sharing all that knowledge and wisdom with us. We are going to broadcast the Meeting You Where You Are podcast every Wednesday. Could be a different time depending on what special guests I have, but just subscribe to the BTST Services Instagram account and Facebook account, and you'll be informed about when the Meeting You Where You Are podcast is going to air. We also are airing every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. with Jada McCray, who's our CEO and co-owner of BTST Services, and she's giving her mental health moments. Chris Simon is on the, I don't know if he's actually on the Wheels of Steel or if it's DJ Little Mike that's on the Wheels of Steel, but every Sunday he's going to have the COVID Lounge, and he's also being asked to give information on WEAA every week. So BTST wants to keep you informed. We want to give you good information, and I hope that you will continue to follow us. I just want to give you one word that has been encouraging to me. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm praying for you, and I hope that you're praying for me. Good night, and until we meet again, have a blessed one.
Let's see.